Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Text anytime 0487 736 736 right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Marto.
Welcome back to The Run Home. Some big news coming out of Collingwood too. Jordan DeGoey and Tom Mitchell won't be playing this week. Osteitis pubis for Jordan DeGoey. That's a big concern for him and Collingwood because I've had that before. Debilitating. Ruined my season in 2006. Eventually had to go to surgery. Elliot Yeo had it for two seasons. Took a long time to get over it. Hard to think.
I haven't actually heard of it and a player incurring that sort of injury now for a little while.
Well, Elliot Yeo, the last one. Yeah, prior to that, there wasn't many.
Correct. And there hasn't been many since Elliot Yeo. So there you go. It's bobbed up again.
Lachie Sullivan will make his debut for Collingwood. 26 years of age from the VFL. Midfielder was picked up 10 weeks ago in the SSP period. So that is a good opportunity for him. He's an absolute ball magnet. So I'm expecting him to have a big game. So well done to Lachie Sullivan. But we need to talk a bit of waffle, and I reckon this guy would be pretty relieved after the win on the weekend. After the siren, Bill Monahan from the East Fremantle Sharks. Bill, welcome to The Run Home.
G'day, Hayes. Great to be here, and yeah, certainly have a smile on my face this week.
The alternative wouldn't have been very pretty given the circumstance at the start of the season, so you must have been pretty relieved.
Yeah, look, it's been a bit of a battle for us over the first month or so. You know, we're probably not playing our best footy, but you know, there's been glimpses of it. And I thought the guys, you know, on a tough day against a very good Swan District side up there at Bassendean, always hard to win. So fighting that out right to the end, and then Jacko nailing his chance after the siren, probably feels a little sweeter. But, you know, you also understand that we only needed a couple of things not to fall in place, and you could have been on the wrong end of the stick. So the players were great, and you know, we're all really thankful Jacko kicked it.
Billy, Peter Vlahos here. Thanks for joining us. Now, you kicked the last four goals of the match, correct?
I think that's right. I think it was 22 points at one stage. It was all a bit of a blur, but and it all happened pretty quickly, but I think the last four.
Yeah, so that was what, in the last, can you recall the last 10 minutes, the last 15 minutes?
I think it was 10 minutes or so, and even that's a little speculative because that's not how much actual game time it was. I think when we're lining up for our second last goal, you know, the timekeepers are pretty close at Bassendean. I think there were, after we kicked the goal to get us within the one kick, I think there was 2 minutes on the clock. So
that could
have gone for 3 or 4 minutes for all I know. I just know there was two minutes on the actual clock that was running down. We're not like the AFL. We don't get that live to our boxes. But if you can peer through a window, through a couple of commentary boxes and get past Stab, you get to have a little bit of a look at the timekeeper's clock.
Did you believe in Jackson McDonald that he could have the presence to handle that situation? And where would you rank him amongst your kickers? If there was a penalty shootout, would you have selected him inside your top five or 10?
Well, probably not, but he's number one now. So, look, Jacko's a terrific player. To be completely honest, kicking's not his real forte. He handballs a lot in and around congestion, but he plays inside mid. But I guess one thing is, if you look back over the couple of years he's been here, he's not a bad goal kicker. Look, I think 47, 48 metres out, kick after the siren. We'd all love to say that we backed Jacko in, but I reckon it was probably a 50. It was probably a 50-50. It's probably a 50-50 kick historically from a statistical point of view. Throw in that it's after the siren to win. I've never been in that situation, but if anyone has, I'm sure, you know, you really need a clear mind. And he went back, and the beauty of it, it's probably right in our angle from Bassendean, and as soon as it left the boot, it was home. So I probably would have thought he might not get the journey, but, you know, it's gone through by 5 or 6 metres, and I say that means there must have been a howling breeze. He said it was just a gentle zephyr, but it was probably the distance was a bigger concern for me as the accuracy.
You mentioned the slow start of the season. Have you been able to pinpoint what it is? We know you've got a lot of injuries. Is it that? Is there some complacency that set in within the East Fremantle Football Club, given how dominant you were last year?
Oh, I think it's a range of things. You know, injuries are injuries and everyone has them. I guess it's who they are, when they happen, you know, the length of them. So, you know, a bit of personnel. We thought we had a really solid pre-season, but I guess one of the challenges when you are the reigning premier is that everyone's out after you. Everyone sets himself for you. So, I mean, you could probably nearly argue that two or three of the performances outside the Claremont one, the opposition had a season best performance against us. In West Coast's case, they had a three-season best performance against us. So you're fighting that battle a little bit. You're fighting a little bit of pressure. And, you know, as coaches and in media and that, you talk about being the hunted as opposed to the hunter. And some of those things just take a little time for you to get your head around. And it's probably, they're not probably big things. And, you know, I talk a lot to the players about, you know, it's easy to say when you lose, you know, you're at 70 or 80% of your capacity. When you win, you know, the reality is in any competition level, and I think if you go to the AFL, it's probably even a finer line. You only have to be 2 or 3% off your very best and you can get hurt. So, you know, West Coast Eagles beat us and we kicked 91 points and the competition average is 76 points or something. So there are aspects to our game in a couple of the losses that have still been okay, but we just probably haven't nailed everything in the game to be at our very best. And it was probably the case against Swans. But I keep coming back. Swans were very good on a big day for them. Bassendean, 90 years celebration. You know, these games aren't a walk in the park, and unfortunately, Swans have been on the end of, you know, a lot of close losses in the last couple of years, and we had to fight damn hard to win. And so I'm hoping that'll hold us in good stead going later into the season. But, you know, I'm reasonably happy, but we're just slightly off our very best.
Now, Billy, if I want to come and see East Fremantle play a home game, where do I find you? Because I read today that the East Fremantle Oval Precinct, where it was formerly a home ground, is now open. It's a recreational facility, is officially, I think, open today or is about to be opened. But, of course, East Fremantle Football Club can't play there yet. So it's amazing that it's open, but you can't play there. I know that you're going to be sharing home grounds. It must be very unsettling at the moment. Do you know what's going on?
Yeah, we can get there and have a cup of coffee at the cafeteria if you want. So we can probably sit around the table, play a game of chess, you know, a bit of euchre maybe. We can have a little bit of game and so on. Oh, look, it's frustrating, and I guess, and no disrespect to anyone who asked the question, because that's the role that you guys play in this. But, you know, I have been asked that question 150 times. We don't know when we're getting on there.
But the facility is open now.
Are you in the gym, Bill?
No. The parts of the facility are open. The East Fremantle Football Club is yet to move into the the facility. That's still an ongoing process, and I'm not involved directly with that, but there's still some aspects around the lease that need to be ticked off and signed off. So we're still operating out of East Fremantle Tricolore facility overlooking the Swan River. That's where our gym is. That's where our admin is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hoping to get there soon. And then, you know, the date at the moment and the oval, and, you know, I have a real opinion on it, because I can go out to my house and water the lawn and look at Hayes's next door and Peter yours up the road, and I can give you all sorts of comments on what I think your garden looks like. It's not my area of expertise.
Yeah, all right. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you prepared at this stage, the way it's panning out, that you'll play both Frio derbies at Fremantle Oval?
I'll answer very politically. I think there's a lot of people that wouldn't be upset that we did, and we used to share the Oval 60 years ago, and that's when most people in WA will say WA football started at Fremantle Oval with the two Fremantle sides. So, it's a possibility. I couldn't rule it out. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, we move on. Look, I've learned over the last 2.5 years, you know, this was going to be a 12 to 18 month project, and we're 2.5 years into it with still a little bit to go before it's finalised. We stopped worrying about it a while ago and just roll with the punches. But look, if you've got a couple of dollars and promoting gambling on your show's okay, if they offered you juicy odds on it, have a couple of bucks on it, but maybe have a bit of a saver on that. We'll play one of them at East Fremantle.
Very good, Billy. Very good.
Hey, Bill, you coached Bryn Teagle before he got drafted in the AFL. He's now back. Have you seen his development from when you first had him to where he is now? And do you think he's a chance to get picked up in the mid-season draft?
Look, Bryn's a fantastic player at our level. 204 centimetres, mobile, you know. Whilst he didn't kick the winning goal the other day, he's had 50 hit-outs, 20 possessions, 4 contested marks and 2 shots on goal, one of them that got us within a couple of points at the end of the game. He's come back a better player than he left us. He played predominantly just as a forward before he got drafted, who pinched hit in the ruck. 24 years of age, he's probably ripe to play his best footy over the next 3, 4, 5 years. So it wouldn't surprise me for him to get drafted. There's a bit of me, because my job's to coach East Fremantle and win as many games as I can in the waffle. I'd love him not to go, but yeah, we sit around and we do list management weekly, daily. I pick sides. I plot my way through the season. It would be really silly of me not to come up with a couple of what ifs if he gets taken. I think it's May 29. And I'm better off thinking about it and believing it might happen and being ready for it, as opposed to no, he won't go, and then he goes. So if he goes, he goes with my best wishes. I think we all have a view whether it's right or wrong that there's a mid-season draft. But at the moment, there is a mid-season draft. And him, Jaspers Gaff at West Perth, you know, 3 or 4 other kids in the waffle, I'm sure they are really a chance to get taken. And if they are, they go with our blessing, we move on and we find another ruckman and another way to win games of footy. But I hope the AFL reconsider it, you know, mid-season drafts, whatever else. My honest opinion is just get it right in November when you draft, and then you wouldn't have to have a mid-season draft. We're rewarding clubs. And I'll get in trouble for the AFL clubs and recruiters are listening to this, because you get injuries and it's bad luck. But if bad luck, suck it up and wait till next year and draft them in November.
Speak a lot of sense.
I agree. Billy, I agree with you.
But my job, part of my job, and hey, you've done my job and you've played at AFL level, part of our job is to make kids the best they can be and try and get them on AFL lists. So, really, if he goes, then he goes with our blessing, and that's the hard part. I don't want to stand here and go, I don't want Brent Teagle to go. That's his dream. That's the kid's dream. He wants to be an AFL footballer, and my job, part of my job, is to help him achieve that dream. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing the right thing. And, you know, I'll find another, you know, Bryn Teagle, and I'll find a different way. If I have to ruck a 6'2" ruckman instead of a 6'10" ruckman, well, so be it. You know, you can win games of football without Bryn Teagle. Without Bryn Teagle is probably, you know, the philosophical way I've got to look at it.
At the end of the scale is Jed Hagan, who returned to your football club after spending some time with the Port Adelaide Sample side. How have you seen his journey back to the Waffle?
Yeah, look, he's a fantastic young player, and he's one of those guys like a Milan Murdoch, maybe like, you know, I'll talk about guys that I've coached, like a Shane Nelson, that, you know, people look at their size and they find a reason for them not to be on an AFL list. Now, he's a 19-year-old kid who's probably played 30 senior games between us and Port Adelaide in the Sandful. You know, he's made a state squad. He kicks a couple of goals a week, yet we all find reasons why he shouldn't be on an AFL list. If I put him in a lineup next to, you know, Caleb Daniels, he probably towers over him. Put him next to Caleb Sarong, and Caleb Sarong's probably a centimetre or 2 centimetres taller than him. Now, Caleb Sarong and Caleb Daniel are exceptionally good AFL players. So I'm not comparing Jed to them, but for some reason, people have in their mind Jed Hagan's not tall enough. And I go, well, those two are playing AFL football. So if people don't think a player, not Jed in particular, a player doesn't have the ability, just say, I don't think he's got the ability. Don't say he's not tall enough, because his height isn't his issue. But he's in the state squad. He's a terrific young fella. He works hard. He's from that wonderful breeding ground up the highway in Geraldton in the Midwest. And, you know, we're really rapt that he's come back and he's playing some really good footy.
Big game coming up. Do you expect any players to come back in the game against Subiaco?
We're going to get some trickling back over the next couple of weeks, and we've got another bye. Cody Leggett had a mate's wedding last week, so we would expect Cody to come back into the side. And Tom Joyce had a little bit of a grumble in his calf. So providing he gets through training, so I'll put my coach speak on. He trained last night. I left training last night thinking he'll play. But really, until I see him, I mean, we're not full-time footballers, so I don't see him again until tomorrow night. And we'll see how he gets to train. So he will most likely play. And then we've got to sit down. You know, we played Cam Early first up last week. We had two buys in our reserves leading into last week, and he played. And now it's a matter of, what do we do with Blaine Bokhurst? He got through a full game of reserves footy, played half back at 21 or 22 and kicked a goal after the siren. Actually, it didn't make any difference in that game. We won by 7 or 8 goals, but he kicked the goal late as well. So Blaine's knocking on my door wanting to play, and we just need a... We need to work through all of that. And it's going to be a challenge for us in the next month when we've got probably 5 or 6 players coming back. Finn Gorringe will play reserves most likely this week. John O'Marsh is only a week or two away from Max Murphy. So balancing how many come into the league side. Dylan O'Reilly played reserves last week. I can't put them all in 1 week. That's a risk. So I would say that's a long way to say I think Leggett, Joyce and possibly Bokhurst would play this week.
Interesting. I was going to ask you about John O'Marsh out for a couple of weeks more, you're saying. He's only 28 years of age at the moment. And I had him on my program a couple of weeks ago, just talking about after kick 7 a couple of weeks ago, and was really good in front of goals, whether he harboured any more aspirations of maybe having another crack at the AFL, and he dismissed it saying, I've done my time, I'm not interested, I just want to stick and play with my mates at East Fremantle Oval. You're talking about the aspirations of, say, Bryn Teagle, and then you've got a 28-year-old who probably didn't like his experience in the AFL, suggesting he just doesn't want to have another crack at it. He's more than comfortable playing at East Fremantle Oval. What's your comments on that?
Yeah, well, I found out who he's talking about because he told me about that conversation, and I can't tell you what he said about the radio commentator who asked him that question.
I've got a very good answer out of him and a very good honest answer, and that's my job, to deliver some honesty to the listeners that are listening in.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It was what he called you when he was describing this bloke on the radio, asked me about whether I wanted to revive my AFL career. Anyway, that's obvious. Look, Jono has been on AFL list twice. He reports, and I'm not really sure what... He basically says he didn't enjoy the experience either time. And now whether that's full-time football doesn't suit some people... You know, he was in and out of sides. He never really... I mean, one of Jono's issues is he's a big hopper. But at AFL level, is he a forward? Is he a pinch-hit ruckman? Is he a back? Is he an inside? Is he an outside? He never really found his niche. And him, from a personality point of view and stuff, he never really felt like he was welcomed and loved and whatever all those words are. And I'm putting words in Jono's mouth, so I've got to be a little bit careful. But, you know, Hayes might say that AFL football and an AFL football club was the greatest experience of his life, but Hayes played 200 and something games and was an absolute star and basically ran his own show. I think, Hayes, you'd probably know, down the bottom end when they're in and out, it's a tough existence for those guys not knowing where they sit, you know, whether they're going to get a game, whether they're going to get a contract. And some people, that's not how they want to live their life and don't feel happy and comfortable in that situation. So, but we're really blessed to have Jono. He's a fantastic kid. You know, I'm getting old, so 28, he's a kid. He's a fantastic young man. He's got full-time work. He enjoys what he's doing off the field. And he's playing good footy for us. And sometimes in life, that's good enough for some people. And I think Jono is one of those people that he's really comfortable in where he's at this stage of his life. And we're really lucky to have him playing for us. And you know, we try and help him be the best version that he wants to be of himself. And if that's working at Clontarf, working with young kids, mentoring them and playing waffle footy, well, then good on him. That's what he wants to do with his life.
No, you're spot on. I had a tough end of my career and it wasn't enjoyable, and you have all of those feelings. And for players that go through that and bang their head against the wall for 3 or 4 years, I can understand why they don't get the enjoyment. But, Bill, good luck this week against Subiaco. Keep it going. The Sharks, hopefully, making their way back into finals.
No worries. Thanks for having
give
me,
give my regards to Jono as well, Peter Vlahos. Just give him my regards. Wish him all the best.
I will, Peter. Thanks, buddy.
Good on you.
Bill Monahan there. Big win it was for the East Fremantle Sharks. They just need to stay intact with the pack of five, of course, to play finals footy in the waffle. But let's get the Kenno feeling with Kennard's Hire, the easy performer of the month. You'd have to say Geelong had a pretty good month. They're undefeated in the AFL. Isaac Heaney, the current favourite for the Brownlow medal. Just looking locally, Caleb Sarong has had a good month. Josh Tracy too for the Fremantle Dockers. I reckon over the last month has proven to everybody that he's going to be a good player in this competition for a long time.
I reckon the waffle competition's had a good month as well.
As with some close games.
Correct.
East Perth on top. No doubt that's come into
just,
your fruition.
Just on percentage.
Okay. Elliot Yeo, big month. Harley Reid, big month, but no bigger than Jake Waterman. He's kicked 15 goals in the last 3 weeks. So if you've got some big performers for Kennard's Hire, we'd love to hear from you. From big jobs to even bigger jobs, get the Kenno feeling with Kennard's Hire. We'll take a break on the other side. Jimmy Williams will bring us up to date with all the sports action today.
Text anytime 0487 736 736. Right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Mardo.